Good morning, members. The Regulatory Reform and Economic Development Subcommittee will come to order. Please call the roll.
Chair Saroy.
Here.
Vice Chair Mello. Ranking Democratic Member Cosello.
Here.
Representatives Amnesty.
Here.
Gossett Steinman. Holcomb.
Here.
Maggard.
Here.
Maney.
Here.
McFarland.
Here.
Nixon.
Here.
Robinson.
Here.
Schoaf. Silvers. Valdez.
Present.
Jaeger.
Here.
Good morning, members. Representative Roach, you're recognized to present House Bill 1317.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Saroy, Vice Chair Mello, and Ranking Member Cosello. And members, thank you for getting up at the butt crack of dawn to hear me present House Bill 1317. I'm going to outline the bill, and Chairman, I do have a strike all, but House Bill 1317, the title is the Resiliency and Safe Structures Act. This bill creates a new section of the building code found in Section 553 of the Florida Statutes. And this bill seeks to stop local governments from preventing the demolition of non-conforming or unsafe structures within their jurisdiction. Those terms are defined in the bill. That is the bill. Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I would present the strike all.
Members, we do have Representative Roach's explanation. If there are no questions, we'll move to the strike all. Representative Roach, you're recognized to explain the strike all amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The strike all is substantially the same. There are a couple of changes that we made after meeting with some key stakeholders and local governments. The strike all amends the bill to better reflect the intent of the bill. It clarifies that the intent of the bill is to curb arbitrary action that may force property owners and developers to maintain non-conforming or unsafe structures. And it specifically states in the bill now, in the strike all, that this bill will not apply to single-family homes and does not apply to any structures that are listed in the National Register of Historic Places.
Members, we're now on questions on the strike all. Questions on the strike all? Seeing no questions, is there debate? Ranking Member Cosello, you're recognized in debate on the strike all.
Thank you. So this strike all, I like the strike all because I was going to definitely vote down on it the way this was worded in the original bill. And I appreciate you reaching out to the stakeholders and amending that somewhat. That I can live with. The original bill that I couldn't, but the strike all makes it palatable. So I thank you for that.
Members, any further debate on the strike all? Seeing none, we'll show that amendment adopted without objection. Members, we're now back on the bill as amended. We do have one appearance card. I'm sorry, two appearance cards. Daniel Ciraldo, Miami Design Preservation League, is an opponent of the bill. Mr. Ciraldo, are you here this morning? Do you wish to speak? Alex Fernandez is a commissioner with the City of Miami Beach, and he is an opponent of the bill. Sir, you're recognized.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Representative Roach. My name is Alex Fernandez. I serve as a commissioner in the City of Miami Beach, where over 2,600 buildings are currently protected by the city's historic preservation regulations. And while we are a small barrier island, Miami Beach has four national historic districts in addition to 14 locally designated historic districts. And so I'm grateful to the representative for his amendment on historic districts, but we also do have a significant number of locally designated districts that are internationally recognized and celebrated in part because they house the largest concentration of Art Deco architecture in the entire United States, in our entire country. They're housed right there in Miami Beach, and it's key to our economy. Buyers have invested in Miami Beach because of our rich architectural heritage, and those who own properties in communities like ours have proudly made significant investments in the preservation of their historic structures, knowing that their property can appreciate at a significantly higher rate because they are in a historic district. And when compared to those properties in a non-historic district, those that are historic have appreciated much more in value. And the proof is in the pudding. When you look at Miami-Dade County, we are a large county. We have over 2,000 square miles, yet 15% of our visitors to Miami-Dade County indicate that the Art Deco district in Miami Beach is their top place to visit. Now, that district is all of 18 blocks out of 2,000 square miles, yet 15% of our visitors go to that historic district. And let me put that in numbers for you. That equates to 2.4 million tourists who spend upwards of $2 billion with approximately $119 million in sales tax flowing back to Tallahassee. So undoubtedly, the architectural significance of our historic districts is of significant impact to our economy. And I ask you to please consider the impacts of this bill. HB 1317 could have unintended consequences of encouraging and incentivizing demolition by neglect of historic properties, resulting in vacant and derelict structures. And equally concerning, eliminating the city's ability to place conditions relative to design, height, square footage on replacement construction will likely result incompatible new buildings out of scale and out of character with the surrounding properties. We can't place individuals who have invested their dollars in a historic property. We can't place them in a competitive disadvantage when so much has gone into preserving architecture, whether it be Art Deco, post-war modern, Mediterranean, Miami modern, or vernacular. Preservation is key to our economy in Miami Beach, and we need to protect these assets that are part of our economy, but it's also part of your economy in the state of Florida. Thank you.
Thank you for being here, Commissioner. Members, we're now in debate on the bill.
Thank you, Representative.
We are now in debate. Seeing no debate, Representative Roach, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Chairman, thank you for getting me up and out so early. I would just say that, in closing, there's certainly no intent to replace the Art Deco district in Miami, and the bill is very specific that any new structure that would be built would have to conform to local zoning codes and ordinances. There's nothing in here that touches that. The bill specifically applies only to three types of structures: nonconforming buildings in FEMA coastal high hazard areas, buildings that are deemed unsafe by local governments, buildings that were ordered to be demolished by local governments. With that, Chairman, I close. Thank you.
Thank you. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Soror?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mello?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Casello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Gossett Seidman?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggart?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Nixon?
No.
Robinson?
Yes.
Schoaf? Silvers? Valdez?
Yes.
Valdez? Yeager?
Yes.
Show the bill reported favorably. Thank you, representatives, and please, we send our regards to the Constitutional Rights Subcommittee this morning. Members, next, we'll move to House Bill 1091, Licensing Fee Relief, by Representative Alvarez. Good morning, Representative Alvarez. You're recognized to present your bill.
Good morning, sir, Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and esteemed colleagues. Thank you for having me here today. I really appreciate it. This bill is meant to put money back in the hands of Floridians. It's a 50% reduction in the Department of Business and Professional Regulation licensing fees, up to $200 at a rate of 50%. It's going to come $50 million out of general revenue. But really, this is about inflation and putting Floridians' money back in their pockets and letting them get back to work immediately. So it's going to cover initial and renewal fees, and that is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for that explanation. Members, are there questions on the bill? Questions for Representative Alvarez? Representative Valdez, good morning. You're recognizing questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Alvarez, is this your first bill?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you, ma'am.
Congratulations.
Thank you, ma'am. It's a good one to have as your first one, right? We're helping out Floridians of all kinds.
And it's also a good one to have fun with.
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready.
But no, on a serious note, my question is, and thank you for our communication yesterday. Yes. One of my concerns being that we have a shortage of nurses, and I'm wondering if there could be a possibility to include the nursing licenses versus CNA, LPN, and it might be because it's in another area outside of DBPR, but maybe that might be an opportunity to be able to look at something like that as well.
Yes, ma'am. And I,
Alvarez, you recognize we have rules in regulatory reform.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate the question about nurses. They're valued, and we know that we're trying to recruit them. This does not cover them unless it's under the DPBR, but it's something I'm willing to consider, and that maybe we could bring that up either as an amendment or in later legislation.
Wonderful.
Thank Representative you. Valdez, you have a follow-up?
Yes, sir, I do. So what other licenses besides the trades would be able to benefit from this?
Thank you for asking.
You're recognized, Representative Alvarez.
Anything under the Department of Business Professional Regulations, such as architecture, asbestos licensing, harbor pilots, talent agencies, the Board of Veterinary Medicine, professional engineers, and barbers. Many, many, many licenses.
Representative Valdez, for a follow-up?
I'm good,
Mayor. Members, we continue in questions. Any further questions? Representative Nixon, you're recognized, followed by Ranking Member Casello.
Thank you, Chair. Hi, Rep. Alvarez.
Hi, ma'am.
Can you list all the licenses that this would cover?
Representative Nixon, I believe he did that, so we'll rule that asked and answered.
All of them?
If you have some more, Representative Alvarez, you'd like to add to the list, you're welcome.
I cannot. So,
all right. Thank you. Thank you, Representative Nixon. Ranking Member Casello, you're recognizing questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, I appreciate you walking across the hall, and you don't have your white hat on today, so I don't know if you're a good guy or a bad guy there. But with that being said, going back to what Representative Valdez says, I sit on the Board of Trustees at JFK Hospital.
Yes, sir.
And it's no secret that we have a huge shortage of nurses. I would love to work with you on this to maybe incorporate them into this bill as far as the fees and stuff like that. I think that would go a long way in helping.
Yes, sir.
Do you have a question?
Oh, yes, sir. It's more of a debate, wasn't it? So my
It's early. It's all right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is, so would you be up to take some type of an amendment that would address that issue, problem?
Representative Alvarez, you recognized?
Representative, I'm always open to anything that will help more people. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, sir. Members, we continue in questions. Any further questions? Vice Chair Mello.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning, ma'am.
Do you happen to know, I know you cover under the DBPR, the real estate industry. Do you happen to know how many licensed real estate agents there are in the state of Florida?
Representative Alvarez, you're recognized.
Ma'am, if you'll give me a second, I can look that up. Or I can't look it up. Yes, ma'am. A total of 431,570 brokers, 1,872,576 initial licensed associate brokers, 576 licensed broker corp or temp, and then instructors at about another 6,000 in that industry.
Vice Chair Mello, for a follow-up.
Nicely done, Representative.
Thank you, ma'am.
Members, any other questions? General, you have a question?
No, sir. I think it's a good bill.
All right. Thank you. Members, we'll now move to public testimony. Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance, waves in support. Thank you, Mr. Bishop. Members, seeing no further public testimony, we're now in debate on the bill. Members, we're in debate. Seeing no debate, Representative Alvarez, you're recognized to close on your bill.
I just want to thank everybody for working with me on this. It really was excellent meeting each and every one of you. Getting to come in and say hi, especially across the aisle, it was really great to find your offices and say hello. And then for my colleagues on my side, thank you for being so open to helping Floridians in our time of need. Sir.
Thank you. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Saroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mello? Yes. Ranking Democratic Member Casello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Gossett-Seidman?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Manning?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Nixon? Robinson?
Yes.
Schoaf? Silvers?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Yeager?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Kimberly. Representative Alvarez will show your bill reported favorably. And I want to congratulate you as well on your first bill. You checked all the boxes. You visited with members. Stakeholders came to see me. Really appreciate your hard work on it and look forward to seeing your bill move through the process.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members of the committee.
Members, if you'd give me one moment. All right, members, we'll move to House Bill 895, the Labor Pool Act, by Representative Bosby. Representative, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning. Good morning, esteemed members. My name is Fabian Basabi, and I'm here to present HB 895, the Labor Pool Act presentation. Good morning again, Chair, Vice Chair Mello, Ranking Member Casello, and committee members. Today, I present to you all House Bill 895, the Labor Pool Act. The original Labor Pool Act was enacted in 1995 to protect the health, safety, and well-being of day laborers throughout the state. This act outlines the uniform standard of conduct and practice for labor pools. If a labor pool operates in a labor hall, it must supply workers with drinking water, seating, and restrooms. Labor pools must also comply with certain requirements related to payment and safety equipment. House Bill 895 amends the current Labor Pool Act from 1995 to provide that a labor pool satisfies the statutory requirements related to the provisions of restroom facilities, drinking water, and sufficient seating if its facility complies with the minimum requirements for public restrooms, drinking fountains, and seating within the Florida Building Code. The bill also requires that a worker aggrieved by a violation of the Labor Pool Act must provide written notice of the alleged violation and give the labor pool 60 days to cure the alleged violation before bringing civil action. A civil action must be commenced within 1 year after the date of the aggrieved worker serves the written notice for the alleged violation. The bill provides that the remedies specified in the Labor Pool Act are the exclusive remedies for an aggrieved worker, and it does not have any fiscal impacts to the state or any local governments. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for allowing me to present this bill. Members, I'm open to any questions if you have. It is my first bill before this committee, but technically it's my second bill.
Thank you, Representative. Take it easy on the hazing. So members, we have one amendment. Let's take questions on the bill as explained before we move to the amendment. Any questions for the representative? Representative McFarland, you're recognizing questions.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. Representative Basabi, since you seem so familiar with the bill analysis, can you tell me who the analyst who wrote the bill analysis was?
You're recognized.
Give me one moment, please. Thank you for that wonderful question, Representative. Her name is Kelly Wright.
Any further follow-up question? No follow-up? Members, any additional questions? Representative Bosby, you're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Chair. Amendment clarifies that the application of minimum standards in the Florida Building Code applies only to water fountains and restrooms. It further clarifies the limitation of remedies is for violations of the Labor Pool Act.
Thank you, Representative. Members, are there any questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? We do have one appearance card on the amendment from Kelly Millett, the Paysetter Personnel Services. And thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you for being here this morning. Members, that concludes public testimony on the amendment. We are now in debate on the amendment. Is there any debate? Seeing no debate, we'll show the amendment adopted without objection. We are now back on the bill as amended, and we will move to public testimony. Seeing no public testimony, members, we are now in debate on the bill as amended. Representative Robinson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A great bill, Representative. One thing as it moves to the next stop, I'd like to see, or at least some more analysis or data on the statute of limitations. I think it's of 1 year. Is that consistent with other causes of action in this category. I think the next stop is civil justice, so I just would be interested kind of in that realm. As is it consistent with other causes of action in statute? A great bill.
Thank you.
Members, debate. Representative Valdez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair Saroy, and thank you, Representative Basabi, for bringing this bill forward. It's such a humane bill to be able to afford the labor pool a facility where they have drinking water and restrooms. You just really don't think about that aspect. I didn't think that this was a thing that was happening. So thank you very much for bringing this forward. I'm proud to support it.
Thank you.
Ranking Member Casello, in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And I'd like to thank you for reaching out and explaining a lot of the questions I had. You know, we had that phone conversation. Makes these committee meetings go a lot quicker with less questions because they've already been answered offline. So I appreciate that as a freshman coming in and, you know, explaining your bill. It makes it a lot easier for us up here with a yes or a no vote. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ranking Member. Members, any additional debate? Seeing none, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say you're a wonderful committee, and I wave close.
I would agree. Kimberly, you're recognized to call the roll.
Chair Saroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mello?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Casello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Gossett-Seidman?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Manning?
Yes. Good job, Rep.
Thank you. McFarland?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Schoaf? Silvers?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Yeager?
Yes.
Thank you, Kimberly. We'll show House Bill 895, Labor Pool Act, reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative.
Thank you.
Members, next we will move to House Bill 1203, Registration and Transfers of Heating, Ventilation, and Air Conditioning System Manufacturer Warranties by Representative Maggard. Representative Maggard, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Chair, Vice Chair Mello, Ranking Member Casello, and the members of the subcommittee. I also thank you all, our great committee, by the way. I'm honored to present HB 1203, an act relating to registrations and transfers of heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system manufacturer warranties. This bill requires that warranties on HVAC systems initiate upon installation and that the warranty transfer with the property upon the sale, not with the owner. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman, and I have an amendment.
Thank you very much, Representative Maggard. Members, are there questions on the bill as explained? Before we move to the amendment, are there questions on the bill? Representative Maggard, you're recognized to explain your amendment.
Thank you. This amendment simply clarifies language in the bill regarding transfers of warranties and registrations, clarifies that the warranty is not extended or reset after a transfer, and clarifies registration to certificate of occupancy date. That is the amendment.
Thank you very much, Representative Maggard. Members, are there questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? We have no public testimony. Is there debate on the amendment? Debate on the amendment. Members, will show that amendment adopted without objection. We are now back on the bill as amended, and we have one item of public testimony. Edward Briggs, the Florida Refrigeration and Air Conditioning Contractors Association. Waves in support. That concludes public testimony. We are now back on the bill as amended. Members, is there any debate on the bill as amended? Ranking Member Casello, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Maggard, I thank you for bringing this this bill forward, and I'll give you my own little personal story. I recently had a new system put into the home, AC, something where in the vicinity of $13,000-$14,000. And we sold the home shortly after having that installed. We had taken all the warranties and such that, never knowing that we had to do this paperwork to get the thing transferred over to the new owner. So now this new owner is sitting in his new home with a brand new air conditioning unit and zero. So I think that this covers a lot of bases for, you know, for that type of mistakes that we make, that not knowing what the rules are. So it's a great bill, and I'm going to support this.
Thank you, Ranking Member. Members, we're in debate. Any further debate? Seeing none, Representative Maggard, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair and Ranking Member Casella. You're exactly right. There are so many people today that don't get what they deserve. This bill, even like with you buying an air conditioner on your house, the way they write their warranty is it goes with you. So the person you sell the house to doesn't get the remaining warranty. It goes with you. You can't take a central air with you. It's just a loophole. We need to close it and help our consumers. With that, I guess that's not a wave close. I close, sir.
Thank you, Representative Maggard. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Soroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mello?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Casello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Gossett-Seidman?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Manny?
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland?
Yes.
Nixon? Robinson?
Yes.
Schoaf? Silvers?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Yeager?
Yes.
Thank you, Kimberly. I will show House Bill 1203 reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Maggard. Members, we will now move to House Bill 1251, Restricted Barbers, by Representative Valdez. Representative Valdez, you're recognized.
I apologize for giving you all my back, but I'll do the best I can. Well, good morning, members. Thank you, Chair Soroy, for putting on the agenda House Bill 1251. And this bill will create a voluntary alternative path from licensures through which skilled haircutters may practice limited barbering in Florida. Limited barbering includes only hair cutting, styling, shampooing, conditioning, beard and mustache trimming, and blow-drying hair. Limiting barbering does not include anything related to mixing or applying dyes or bleaches or any other potential dangerous chemical. For a person to practice limited barbering under this bill, they must pass the same sanitation and HIV safety course all barbers must pass. They must register with the barber board. They must cut hair under the supervision of a licensed barber inside a licensed barbershop. And they must not have faced any barbering-related discipline within the last 5 years. The bill preserves the barbering board's ability to discipline anyone authorized to practice limited barbering by the alternative path created by this bill, including revoking their authorization to do so. States, including in this, our neighbors like Georgia, Alabama, and several others, allow unlicensed persons to cut hair under the supervision and the tutelage of a licensed barber. This bill will create jobs, alleviate the state's barber shortage, and allow those who seek to be licensed to make an honest living while they attend school to pursue their license if they so choose, all while safeguarding public health and safety. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Representative Valdez, for your explanation. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? Representative Valdez, you have one amendment. You're recognized to explain the amendment.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. And this amendment will clarify that the trimming of the beard is without a straight edge, right? It'll have to be with the trimmer, which is a safety concern that was brought to our attention. And it also requires the registration of the unlicensed barber with the board and have their non-licensed permit posted on the mirror.
Members, are there, I'm sorry, Representative, did that conclude your?
Yes, sir, it did.
Members, are there questions on the amendment? Members, questions on the amendment? Representative Valdez, I have one question. Would you say that your amendment trims language from the bill? Or
yes, it does a little
provide
bit.
Provide some extensions?
Or? It does, Mr. Right. Chair.
Members, we'll move to public testimony. Seeing we do have some public testimony on the amendment. Cruista Filomeno Adams. Good morning, ma'am. You're recognized. And ma'am, we are on the amendment.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're recognized.
Yes. My name is Cruzita Filomenos Adam, and I am from Florida Barber Legislative Hearing. Well, anyway, the reason why I'm here is because I want to let you know what is, as a person like me, wanting to become a barber. Like to let you know how that it would be easier for me to go through some levels right now. So I'm going to read this for you, okay? This is my first time here. Excuse me.
Welcome.
Take your time, ma'am. We're glad you're with us this morning.
Let
Welcome.
Me take a breather. Okay. My name is Cruzita Filomeno Adams. I came into the United States when I was 11 years old. I have a bachelor's degree in education, and I'm and 13 years as a paralegal. Okay? Now, starts like this. My name is Cruzita Filomenos Adams, and I want to be a barber. And after spending much of my life as a paralegal and an educator, I am ready to pursue my other passion as a hair cutter. I have always enjoyed cutting my husband's hair, my family's hair, my friends, but now I want to make a living sharing my skills with others and teaching just like I did Spanish. Last year, I met Zach, that's his nickname, and I accomplished barbering in Jacksonville, but originally, he's originally from Bosnia, so I worked on, he's teaching me under supervision only, okay? 20 years ago, Zach immigrated here, and even though he could probably teach barbering courses, he had to go through every unnecessary hoop just to start cutting hair for a living again. Zach has allowed me to shadow him in his shop, and if he could, would let me start cutting hair in his shop today. Like many Floridians, I do not currently have the ability to pay thousands of dollars for barbering school. I would love to be able to cut hair under Zach's supervision and be able to earn money while I work towards a license of my own. With a short sanitation course, there is no reason why a master barber like Zach should not be able to train me up his own way. The only thing in the way of him and I making this deal are the government barriers, and I am here to talk to you about it today. Okay. Ever since I heard about an alternative path, I have been going around to barbers in Jacksonville to ask what others in our craft have to say. I have only heard positive responses from those who want options for our trade. I drove three hours today to share their voices with you here today, asking you to let barbers have a say in how they train their own. Please support this so that I can share my skills with others. Thank you for your time. Oh, it said, please share this amendment so I can share my skills with others. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I'm a very emotional person. Sorry.
Ma'am, I want to thank you. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Glad that you joined us here today from Jacksonville. You're a wonderful spokesperson for your profession. We're glad to have you with us here today. Thank you very much for being here. You did a great job.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Our next in public testimony members, we do have a few cards. Christian Camara, Institute for Justice, is a proponent of... Thank you very much. Sal Nuzzo, the James Madison Institute. Thank you very much. And Augustin Corbella, Florida Rights Restoration Coalition, is a proponent of the bill, waiving in support. And then we have another card from Christian Camera Institute for Justice, a proponent of the bill. Members, we are now, that concludes public testimony. We are now in debate on the amendment. Members, is there any debate on the amendment? Seeing no objection, Representative Valdez, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I waive close.
Thank you. Members, seeing no objection, we will show the amendment adopted. As the relating to clause of this bill has been amended pursuant to Rule 7.11, Section D, this bill is temporarily postponed without a motion. We'll show that bill TP'd. Members, if you would indulge me for just a moment. Ms. Adams, what you saw occur here today, procedurally, because we changed some language in the bill related to an amendment, we have to temporarily postpone the bill today, but when we come back to our next committee meeting next week, we'll be in a posture to take up the bill and resume our business on it. So thank you for being here with us today again, and have a safe trip back. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Representative Valdez. Members, if you'll give us just a moment. We'll now move to House Bill 1215, Public Records and Inspectors and Investigators for Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. Representative Maggard, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, and Ranking Member. I'm honored to present HB 1215, an act relating to public records, inspectors, and investigations of FDACs. This bill simply grants current and former inspectors, investigators of the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, the same public record exemptions that are granted inspectors and investigators of all the other state agencies. That is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Maggard. Members, are there questions on the bill? Seeing no questions on the bill, we'll now move to public testimony. We do have a few appearance cards. Izzy Garbarino, Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, waves in support. And we have Alex Haley, Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, waves in support. Thank you very much. That concludes public testimony on the bill. Members, we are now in debate. Members, we're in debate on the bill. Seeing no debate, Representative Maggard, you're recognized to close on the bill.
Wave close.
Thank you. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Sorori?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mello? Ranking Democratic Member Costello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Gossett-Seidman?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Manny?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Schoaf? Silvers?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Yeager?
Yes.
I will show House Bill 1215 reported favorably. Thank you, Representative Maggard. Members, next we'll move to PCS for House Bill 861, Residential Loan Alternative Agreements by Representative Robinson. Representative Robinson, you're recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I feel like this is like third reading. This is the residential loan agreements bill we discussed last week.
Thank you very much. Members, are there any questions of Representative Robinson? Questions of Representative Robinson? Seeing none, we'll now take public testimony on the bill. Gerald O'Rourke of Zillow waves in support. Etta Fernandez, AARP, waving in support. Thank you, ma'am. Elizabeth Guzzo, Office of the Attorney General, waves in support. And David Daniel, the Florida Land Title Association, waves in support. Members, that concludes public testimony. We're now in debate on the bill. Debate on the bill. Vice Chair Mello, you recognize in debate.
Thank you, Chair Sorori. Thank you, Representative Robinson, for coming to me about this bill, because I am a licensed real estate broker. I will be up on the bill today. I want to put on record, I would like to see you continue to work with Florida Realtors on this bill to make it a better bill. But thank you very much for coming to me and working with us on this bill.
Thank you, Vice Chair Bello. Members, we are in debate. Seeing no further debate, Representative Robinson, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Vice Chair. This is the great part about the committee process as we work through it. We're going to improve this bill and continue to engage the stakeholders, especially the Florida Realtors. And I've enjoyed our conversations, and we'll keep those going. And with that, I ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Robinson. Kimberly, please call the roll.
Chair Soroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mello? Yes. Ranking Democratic Member Costello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Gossett-Seidman?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Manny?
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland? Nixon? Yes. Robinson?
Yes.
Schoaf? Silvers?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Yeager?
Yes.
So that bill reported favorably. Thank you, Representative Robinson. Members, I will now pass the gavel to Vice Chair Mello.
Thank you, Chair. Members, we will now take up PCBRRS 23-01, Space Florida by Chair Soroy. Chair Soroy, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you very much, Vice Chair Mello. Members, I want to just touch on briefly, for the benefit of our new members, a proposed committee bill is a piece of legislation taken up by a committee for the purpose of consideration whether to introduce the bill in the name of the committee. So we will produce a product today, which will be referred by the speaker to committees for further consideration. I'm pleased to offer PCBRRS 23-01 for your consideration today. This is an act related to Space Florida. Space Florida is an independent special district created in 2006 and charged with the attraction and retention of aerospace operations in Florida. Space Florida falls under the umbrella of Enterprise Florida, has an appointed board of directors, and utilizes a number of different financial tools to attract and retain commercial aerospace business. This proposed committee bill offers a number of changes to reflect a rapidly evolving commercial aerospace sector, including the separation of Space Florida from Enterprise Florida, a restructuring of the board of directors, enhanced collaboration with industry stakeholders, a review schedule with OPAGA and EDR, and a legislative budget commission review of contracts over $10 million. These recommendations are a product of discussions with numerous stakeholders, and I want to thank Representative Duggan in particular for the numerous conversations that we have had regarding Cecil Field in Jacksonville, which is one of our state's designated spaceport territories. I also want to express my thanks to Lieutenant Governor Nunez and her team for the good communication and collaboration that we have had while working through this bill. I do think that we have a couple of additional items that we can address, and I look forward to continuing those conversations. Members, one of the key elements that sets Florida apart from other states is the investments that we've made in advanced manufacturing and vocational and technical training. And Governor DeSantis has been a tremendous leader in this area. This bill continues that investment and builds on our success and puts Space Florida in a position to continue to lead the country in space technology and launch capability. Chair Mello, that is the bill.
Thank you, Chair Soroy. Members, are there any questions on Chair Soroy's bill? Okay. Representative McFarland, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could you talk a little bit more about the board recomposition?
Chair Soroy, you're recognized.
Thank you. Thank you, Vice Chair Mello. So Representative McFarland, I appreciate that good question. When we were looking at the board composition, you know, one of the things that I think is important for us to realize in the context of this conversation and your question is that Space Florida was created in 2006. The Space Shuttle program ended in 2011. So for the historical benefit of our members, you know, the Space Shuttle program is an example of a government-run space operations program, flying government astronauts, flying payloads that are contracted with the government. The orbiter vehicle itself landed and was refurbished and relaunched. Portions of the vehicle, solid rocket boosters, were recovered. External fuel tank, you know, was not recovered. That was kind of the old model of aerospace. So what we've seen, certainly since the creation of Space Florida in 2006, the retirement of the shuttle program in 2011, we now have a very robust and growing commercial space presence in Florida, in large part because of the good work that Space Florida has done. And now we see commercial operators that are doing all kinds of things. One example in particular, I'm completing an arc here to answer your question, so I appreciate the leeway. But one of our commercial operators, you know, has a large recovery effort where many portions of the vehicle are recovered and reused, and those are largely water-bound landings and recoveries. So what we wanted to do is really look at the board as an opportunity to create a nexus between all of these different operators in commercial aerospace. A key component of that are our deep water seaports. So that's why you see a representative of a port authority included in our board, because we wanna make sure that all of these key stakeholders are at the table and all of these different perspectives are represented, whether it's a deep water seaport, which is doing waterbound recovery, or the Jacksonville Aviation Authority has a seat on the board as it is proposed, because Cecil Field offers different launch capability in terms of horizontal takeoff and a horizontal landing capability. So, you know, the board also recognizes the important financial tools that exist in the Space Florida toolbox. That's why somebody is listed as having to have some experience in bond financing on the board. Our academic and workforce folks, absolutely critical in terms of making sure that we have a robust environment for the attraction and retention of our commercial aerospace stakeholders. So the board is really an effort to reflect the evolving needs of the industry and their presence in our state. So thank you for that good question.
Follow-up, Representative? Seeing no further questions, we will now take public testimony on the bill. Seeing no public testimony, are there any members that wish to debate on the bill? You recognize Representative McFarlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Soroy, I want to commend you for doing this really technical and at times seemingly bureaucratic work. Your explanation of the history of Space Florida was a great precursor and background as to why we need to update Space Florida today and then also look to the future of what it could be. I'm chairing the Transportation and Modal Subcommittee, and I appreciate so much that this PCB envisions the future of Space Florida and connecting not just what we think of space today, but what it could be. There are tremendous implications down the line for transportation of freight via space, which is really compelling and interesting to me. The commercial space industry is already showing that we can have civilians up in space, and I appreciate your foresight in constituting a board that contemplates that robust future of the space program, so thank you.
Representative Valdez, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you very much, Chair Mello, and Representative Soroy, thank you so much for this bill. Your vision since you've been in the Florida House when it comes to the space arena has been amazing. And it's really cool to see it grow. I'm going to digress a little bit, and I'm going to think about my mom. My mom was born in 1925, and she remembers seeing Buck Rogers, right? The cartoon, and that was a black and white cartoon with a man that would get onto the moon, right? And in her lifetime, she actually got to see a man walk on the moon, right? So here we are. I'm reminded then of even cartoons and even shows such as Star Trek or, you know, Next Generation, and seeing how things are evolving and to see physically how things are actually evolving in this space, and no pun intended, but it's just amazing how your vision and your work in this arena has been impeccable and just so visionary. I'm so proud to be able to support this today. Thank you for your vision.
Seeing no further members wishing to debate, Chair Soroy, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair Mello. And members, just to be very brief, this is something that I'm very excited about. And to kind of continue on the question that Representative McFarland posed for just a moment, you know, one other thing that I think it's important to point out is that during the space shuttle program, you know, you could look at space operations and largely point to maybe one or two areas of our state. But as the commercial presence continues to grow and today is very robust, it's something that is available to the entire state in terms of commerce. You know, there are capsules that are landing off of Pensacola and are being recovered. So I think that we are in a position where today commercial aerospace may seem still somewhat novel, but we're very quickly reaching a point where I believe that it's going to be as common as commercial flight. And that's something that our policy should start and continue to look at. And I'm really grateful that we have good partners in Space Florida and the governor's office in particular that see the potential there as well. So we have invested a lot in this area. We will continue to do so. And thank the governor's office, Governor DeSantis and Lieutenant Governor Nunez for their leadership. And Vice Chair Mello, thank you for steering the committee. And with that, I close on this bill.
Thank you, Chair Soroy. Chair Soroy, having closed on his bill, Kimberly, will you please call the roll?
Chair Soroy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Mello?
Yes.
Ranking Democratic Member Costello?
Yes.
Representatives Amnesty?
Yes.
Gossett Seidman?
Yes.
Holcomb?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Manny?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Robinson?
Yes.
Schoaf? Silvers?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Yeager?
Yes.
Members, by your vote, we will show PCB RRS 23-01, Space Florida by Chair Soroy to be reported favorably. Congratulations, Chair.
Thank you very much, Vice Chair Mello. Members, just a couple of housekeeping items. We are now approaching the middle point. I guess it still is a little bit early, but nonetheless, I expect the cadence of our committee work is going to pick up substantially during our next couple of meetings. So, you know, I would advise you to be prepared for a heavy workload. If you have questions about any bills that are on our agenda, please feel free to reach out to me or to staff. But I do expect that we're going to be pretty busy moving forward. Looking at the calendar, we've got a lot on our plate that we need to work through. So I appreciate our collaboration and our good conversations. This is a wonderful committee. Vice Chair Mello, do you have any closing comments? Ranking Member Costello?
Thank you, Chair. Just to once again say how you run these meetings. You talk about cadence. Anybody who's been in the military knows we're all in step here with you. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ranking Member. Seeing no further business before the committee, Representative Amnesty moves that we adjourn. Without objection, the committee is adjourned.